Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, how we bless your name, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. How we enter in your house of prayer, O Lord God. Hallelujah. To render you, O Lord God. Thank you, Lord. How great, how faithful, hallelujah, you are, O Lord God. The sovereign, the holy God. The great I am, hallelujah, hallelujah. The very one who sustains us with his breath, hallelujah. Who ordained us, had plans for us from the beginning of time. We bless your name, O Lord. We bless your name, O Lord God. Father God, we come before you again with humble hearts, O Lord, acknowledging that you are the great I am, that there is nothing that we can do, say, or think, O Lord God, that you don't already know, Father God. So, Father, for anything that we have said, done, or thought, O Lord God, that was not pleasing in your sight, O Lord God. As a body of believers, O Lord God, we say, forgive us. And now, Lord, because of your beautiful and just wonderful grace that you have bestowed upon us because of our faith in Jesus Christ, O Lord God, we come to hear what you, Father God, has given your servant, O Lord God, to minister unto your people. We thank you, Father, for what has already went before, O Lord God, from Sunday school to corporate prayer, O Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 O Lord God. Into the worship and praise, O Lord God, the continuation, O Lord God, of our worship to you, O Lord God. So I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, O Lord God. Holy Spirit, continue to have your way. Let everything that you've poured into me come out of me. None of me and all of you. For Father, I stand before your people out of this obedience to your word, that I share your truth with a humble heart surrendered to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. Amen, amen, amen. You know, we have gathered here in his house of prayer. His house of prayer. Hallelujah. The confirmation of what he's given me has been just ministered all service long. Because it's all about our worship and our praise to the Lord God Almighty. You see, Jesus himself said in John 4:23-24, that God seek such worshipers. What kind of worshipers? Worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So when the Spirit spoke to me saying, praise and worship in his house of prayer and our daily life reveals what's in our heart and our relationship with him. Think about that. It's out of our heart in our daily life. So every day, every waking moment ought to be worship unto the Lord. So as we looked at our scripture of the week, as therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Yes, And even in Hebrews 13:15, the Apostle Paul even encourages us with these words. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that proclaiming the glory of his name. Oh, and then we hear from Jesus himself in Matthew 4:9-11. When Satan said to him, all these things I will give you if you, talking to Jesus, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Right. Oh, yeah. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. See, this shows that we were created to worship. It's a personal responsibility. And we can choose what and who to worship. You see, when I was in college, I remembered a phrase that I heard, that we become like what we worship. Say it again. We become like what we worship. Now, this was a quote from two Bible scholars, Greg Bill and N.T. Wright. Bill is the author of We Become What We Worship. And you see, his thesis was simple. He said, and I quote, what people revere, they resemble. Either for ruin, all right, or for restoration. He traces that theme throughout the scripture to show that we are worshipers and that our worship exposes us and changes us. We either will revere the world and are conformed to the sinful patterns of the world, or we will revere God and progressively conform into his likeness. Now, I said, you know, so it's not just about I'm coming to worship. So you got to bring, you bringing worship in with you. Amen. 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 It's not something that we rely on the praise team to usher us into. You know, it's like coming to the Super Bowl game of all the universe every Sunday corporately. We ought to come in here with a triumphant shout of praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Because the one that we're coming to worship is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! Our Creator of heaven and earth. So I thank you, Lord, that you created us to worship you. N.T. Wright added, when humans beings give their heartfelt allegiance to and worship that which is not God, they progressively cease to reflect the image of God. One of the primary laws of life is that you become like what you worship. What more, you reflect what you worship not only to the object itself, but also outward to the world. Amen. So I, Jean, had to look within. I had to ask the Holy Spirit, show me. Lord, forgive me for all the times that I made worship about me. Or has somebody else ought to be worshiping? Lord, forgive me. Because worship belongs to the Lord God Almighty. All worship is God-centered. So I ask you, as I have done, let's self-examine ourselves. What lifestyle of worship is being expressed to the world through us? What does our worship reveal about what we believe in, who we believe in? Do we only worship on Sunday? And leave the rest of the week to, I'll wait till I get back again on Sunday. God is looking. He seeks. The word say he seeks for true worshipers. True worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh God. What lifestyle of worship are we living and bringing into his house of prayer? I know these are personal questions, but I tell you, we've got to examine them because we will give an account for everything that we do say in this body. Careful thought must be given to what distinguishes the right way and the wrong way to worship God. Because I assure you, it is a dangerous and even life-threatening, to worship the Lord in a way that is offensive to him.
Amen.
Not to the person that sat next to you, but is offensive to him.
Amen.
Now, we can see in a couple of scriptures in Acts 5, 1 through 11, where we can go there and we can see where it's about Ananias. And his wife. We can't hide anything from God. He knows already what's in us. He knows who we are truly worshiping. He knows who we are truly praising. Because you can give a shout of praise and never worship God. So we have to be mindful that we cannot fool the one who created us. He's seeking true worshipers. Even in 1 Corinthians 11:29, on First Sundays, we hear it all the time. To consider the manner in which we take communion. To understand it. To know what it's about. To know why we're giving reverence. To know. It's dangerous. It can be your very life. It can determine where you will eternally live forever. Because there's only two addresses. In the presence of the Almighty God in a new heaven, earth, or in the confoundments of eternal hell. He's looking for true worshipers. What does our lifestyle say? Do we live to praise the Lord? Does it show forth, not just in his house, but in the living house, the temple that we carry around every day? Work, job, working out, wherever we are. There ought to be worship and praise oozing out of us. I was in Subway ordering subs for my husband. Just thanking God that I could remember exactly what he wanted to have. So I asked for a double portion of everything to go on his sandwich. The man behind the counter say, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Because I see Jesus all over you." That's worship. To show forth the glory of God in how we talk, how we act. That other ones can see that there is something different. That's why he said we're peculiar. They ought to be separated. We don't have to carry the Bible around and intentionally beat As some people used to say in the old day, I'm going to beat hell out of you. If your lifestyle is a lifestyle of worship and praise, the Holy Spirit will be at work at all times. You walk by somebody, you smile, it changes their day, it changes their life. An appropriate word spoken at the right time, a hug, a touch at the right time. All of this is rendering worship unto our God. Oh, isn't he a great God? Isn't he a great God? You see, it took me a while to understand what Jesus meant. And I discovered through the study of his word that the foundation to worship in spirit and truth is understanding the nature of the Father. You see, God cannot be confined to space and time, gender, ethnic origin, or any human boundaries. There are four descriptions that I saw in the New Testament about God. God is spirit, John 4:24. God is light, 1 John 1:5. God is love, 1 John 4:8. And verse 16, and God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. You know, these passages should remind us of our link with God through creation, because he made us in his image and his likeness, and the major portion of that image is our spirituality. Amen. So it is through our spirits that we understand God's truth and communicate with God. So to worship him in spirit is having the proper heart attitude. The internal, not the external. Because if you remember, when Jesus met the woman at the well, it wasn't about where she was at. Because he said, there's going to come, you ain't going to come to this mountain. It's internal. It's the internal reality of our soul. Amen. That relationship. You and I will never be able to truly render proper worship unto God without his Holy Spirit. Amen. Without his Holy Spirit. Because he knows, he's the one that brings the truth, that reveals, leads and guides us. So we thank God for that. To worship in truth, it's humbling ourselves and yielding to him. To worship in truth must be consistent with the scripture. Amen. The word, Jesus, he inspires worship. Worship is the proper response of the soul of a man to the revelation of God through his written word. So as believers, we must study scripture, sit under the word, and understand sound doctrine, yes, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Because it's only the truth from God that leads to the proper worship of God. So if you don't know the word, if you don't know the nature of God, if you don't understand the depths of his love, the sacrifice that Jesus did, how can you even begin to worship? You don't even have an idea what worship is. That is why it is so important. Pastor Claude, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Because he taught us the truth. There should not be a member of Victory Christian Center Church. Woo, hallelujah. 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 That don't worship. That don't worship. That you're not dependent on someone else to prop you up, to get you in the right frame of mind. Like the ministry and song this morning, I woke up with my mind stayed on Jesus. Stayed on Jesus. No matter what circumstances in life bring us, suffering and trials, Jesus said these things are going to happen. But if we have a lifestyle of worship, it shouldn't matter. It should not, ought not matter. Hallelujah. Because we're saying, when we lift up our arms, we're saying we have surrendered, we trust you. That no matter what comes at us, no matter what they say about us, no matter how much I have been wrong, I worship you, Lord. Therefore, it is your power, it is your strength that carries me through the dark valley. It is your strength, your power that lifts my head when grief tries to overtake me. Thank you, Lord, that you created us to be worshipers. Oh, we thank you, God. Psalms 100. Oh, Lord, he doesn't leave us without knowing how to worship him. Let's take a look at Psalm 100, because it gives us a right way to approaching God, apprehending who God is, and adoring God. What a clear picture of true worship and praise before our God. If you're there, say amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Make a joyful noise. Worshipers make joyful noise. They make joyful noise. Don't matter what happened to them, they make joyful noise. They serve the Lord with gladness. They come before his presence with singing. There's a song in your heart. Hallelujah. 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 You're bringing worship into him. You're leaving out of here with worship going back out into the world. Hallelujah. 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 Know ye. Now see, he's going to even help you comprehend who God is. You can just know. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. Hallelujah. Don't get it twisted. We are his people. Hallelujah. The sheep of his pasture. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm talking about worshiping. Not just in here, but all day long. You hear people say, it don't take all of that. What we reading? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Ooh, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. To all generations. Oh, thank you, Father. So you see, worshiping God requires that as believers, that we'll always keep our focus on him and never upon man. Because you see, our human nature trip us up and trip the person next to us up. You know? And that's what happens when we worship worldly things. Want to become like so-and-so. Got to be rich like so-and-so. Don't you know that as children of God, we are rich already? Because of who our Father is, he owns everything. And when we worship and praise him, See, they say praises go up, blessings come down. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It requires more than praising for those blessings to come down. You got to be obedient. You have to be obedient to the word of God. Couple that with praises. Boom, boom, them blessings show up. To through whoever God wants to bring them to you through.
That's right. That's right.
They'll drop on you.
Yes, they will.
Doors open up.
Yeah.
You trying to press one way, the Spirit say go that way. So when somebody say praises go up, blessings come down, you said only on the foundation of obedience.
Amen.
Only on the foundation of obedience. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. God alone is worthy of praise. So we, as God's people, must remind our own hearts of this singular gaze in worship, that He alone is to be praised. Now that should go to Psalms 103. And when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You see, here in this psalm, David calls upon his own heart to praise the Lord. Look at verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. And I'm reading from the NIV version. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. So when you don't think you can praise, talk to your heart. Talk to yourself. Say, self, we gonna praise the Lord with everything that's in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In his house of prayer and in private. Encourage yourself to praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And forget not all his benefits. And when we get the verses 3 through 19, we see where David reminds himself of the many reasons for praising God. What reasons do you have for praising God? If you can't think of any, David is telling you some right here. Because he forgives all your sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of them. All of them. All of them. All of them. We have sins that we going to do that we don't even know we going to do them. And God done already forgave them. Because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Praise him. Worship him. Hallelujah. And heals all your diseases. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we dare to enter into his house of prayer without a worshiping spirit? Jesus, have mercy. Thank you for your grace. Who redeems your life from the pit. You know, we've been stuck in those situations where we know we shouldn't have been stuck. Lord, if you just get me out of this time, I won't go that way again. I won't do that thing again.
Jesus.
He do that and he still crowns us with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. This is our God, the faithful, the everlasting, the everlasting. Hallelujah. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Not just for who you think he ought to do it for. See, I'm telling you. We mess it up when we start worshiping idols and everything else. God, he tells you. In Isaiah 6, he tells you. You can worship idols if you want to. They dead. So you can worship a dead thing and you're going to get dead stuff. And your life will be dead. It will show the results of deadness. So if you're in a situation and it's deja vu, if it's Groundhog Day, every day, every time you turn around, if the situation never changes,
hallelujah.
Don't say because you didn't have worship, it's because you didn't bring worship. You brought in the worship of the world. And so you're going to reap what the world has. But when you worship the true and living God, did you hear me? Living God, you get life. You get living things that blesses not only your life, but blesses those that are around you. See, God is inclusive. Because he says he desired that not one be lost. And how is it going to happen if we, who were created in his image, created to worship him, if we're not worshipers? There's a lot of dead folks living with us. In our social groups, for all I know, we may be one of the dead people. As one sister said, just saying. We have to understand that the spirit that lives within us is the same spirit of Christ, of God. And he worships the Father. So either you will suppress that and be straddling the fence and being lukewarm, and he says what he does to lukewarm. He spits it out. Once again, let us examine what kind of worship our life reveals to God and to those around us. Oh, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor in his anger forever. That's the God we worship. Ooh, aren't you glad you ain't got to worship people? I pray that you don't worship people. Because people can hold on to some anger. Oh, Jesus. They'll hang on to it and take somebody else with it. But not our God. Not our God. Not our God. As the word says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. That's our God.
Thank you,
Jesus. And see, man will do just the opposite. He'll make you pay until he feels that you've done enough. And if you do something to remind him, man, of it again, the debt starts all over again. Repaying. Pastor said, one of the last things he said, stay on God's side. Stay on God's side. Because it is here where the worship brings those blessings. Hallelujah. 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 For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him, who reverence him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We can, hallelujah, as true worshipers, live a life that where the anointing oil of the Lord flows from us. when we get it, when we get it, when we believe it with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. We are powerful worshipers. Powerful worshipers. Powerful worshipers. Oh, thank you, Lord. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remember that we are dust. Ain't that something? He hasn't forgot. He has not forgotten our frailties as humans. Yet he still seeks true worshipers. The life of a mortal is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. It places, remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. That is why this thing has to be talked about, lived out before our family members. Because when it's our time, that legacy of faith, that legacy of being a true worshiper, has already been sown into your child. And now your child is sowing it into their children.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I say it is well with my soul because God has allowed me to see my grandbabies. Shout out hallelujah to the Lord. My three-year-old who gets up and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. This is your day. Show me your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he calls out his papa, his mama, his daddy. God, show them your way. We are your children out of the mouths of babe. Let us leave that legacy. So this will be us, his righteousness with their children. Hallelujah. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules all over. When we get to verses 20 through 22, David issues a call to heaven and to earth to join him in praising God. He says, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts. You, his servants, who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you forget or don't think you can praise, go to Psalms 103. Deposit it right now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. When you can't think of what to praise him for, David has given us a beautiful example of how we can render praise. There are so many numerous benefits of praise and worship that are overlooked because we're so often too busy about what's going on in the world. Like David, oh, the man after God's own heart, who understood those benefits and appropriated them. You know, when we do those things, we are enriched, empowered, and enabled by the Spirit of God to experience higher levels of Christ-like transformation and fruitfulness and blessing. When worshiping and praising God characterizes our life, I believe that we can experience these benefits, a lighter load, and less frustration. You see, when people praise and worship God for his power and sovereignty and omnipotence, they don't have to carry around excess burdens and frustrations. When we praise God during our time of distress, disappointment, or even difficulty, we are able to completely give all of that weight of the adverse conditions or circumstances to the Lord. Because you see, it's human pride that often stands in our way of surrendering our right of control to the Lord. So when we praise God for his mighty power, we are acknowledging that we are weak and that he is strong. We praise help us to realize that he is able to take us through any dark valley and bring us through successfully according to his will and not our will. Another benefit is that we should see a diminish in our guilt. You see, those who praise God are released from the burden of guilt when they experience the freedom of God's forgiveness and cleansing from all our unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Praising God for his ability to free us from any, hallelujah, power and darkness of chain of sin that would cause us to have these negative thought lives and do these unthinkable things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only to ourselves, but to others as well. You see, praising and worshiping God helps us to realize that he purifies, he perfects, and cleanses us through the powerful blood of Christ Jesus that helps us to progress from one degree of glory to another just by the Spirit of the Lord. God's praise and worship results in greater sanctification. You see, diminishing all that guilt. And then also, it will diminish the way we judge people. Yes, it will. Greater worship, greater praise helps us to realize that we are too easily become disappointed with ourselves and others because of our critical, sinful nature. We know it. If we take out the mirror, we know we can be critical. Yeah. Way too much. Yeah. But you see, when we have that lifestyle of worship and praise, God helps us to realize that judgment is from the Lord and it's not our business. It ain't none of our business. Critical people are often individuals who need to praise God more for his ability to take care of troublesome people. You see, praise and worship help us remember that if we sin, we do so to the Lord. You see? When we sin, we sin it unto the Lord. And he will repay each of us for what we have done. So we can leave all judgmentalism to the Lord to recompensate everyone justly. Because he's the only one who can do it justly and fair. Now hold on to your seat. Because when we have a lifestyle of worship and praise before the Lord, our complaints will diminish as well. When we praise God for who he is and what he's done, we reduce the tendency to murmur and complain about our hurt feelings. Yes, we do. If we really, let's be real. Praise really does, it reinvigorates us with a renewed sense of appreciation for how God helps us overcome evil with good instead of allowing evil to overcome us. Praise and worship has a way of soothing our hurt feelings and minimizing our tendency to give in to self-pity. Paul learned how to be content in every circumstance because he knew that he could praise God for the promise, I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. Hallelujah. Don't we say that we can do all things through Christ? That's what we say. That's what we say. But do we say it out of praise and not in worship? Thank you, Lord. Another, our stress should be diminished. People who consistently praise and worship God are less apt to complain about God's training method. Woo! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
About God's training method. Amen. We want to exalt people to be able to do this, do that, do that. Let God train up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows exactly what he has for each one of us to do, when to do it, how to do it. It's his time and not ours. See, it'll diminish stress. It'll take all that worry off you. When we praise God, we will be more submissive, content, and yielded to his will. When we are suffering from pain, we find that praise alleviates our tendency to give in to the feeling of bitterness, fear, and doubt, and anger. Praise has a way of releasing us from our sinful desire to take back control from the Lord. You see, by praising God for his sovereignty, we're saying, Lord, I know I can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Praise alleviates our anxiety as we allow our hearts and mind to remain in Christ Jesus, according to Philippians 4, 6 through 8. We continue to praise God for his truth, nobility, his righteousness, purity, loveliness, excellence, admirability, and praiseworthy splendor. All of that. All of that. When you get in that degree of worship and praise in your lifestyle, your stress is diminished. You can tell a true worshiper. They look youthful. You wear 61, you wear 62 well. You come through two hip surgeries hopping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You run around the church because he say, give me praise. You fall and you get up because he say, I ain't finished with you yet. Hallelujah. No stress. No stress. No stress. No stress. No stress. These holidays come. No stress. He know what we need. Hallelujah. Oh, your weakness diminishes. Because praising and worshiping God gives us greater confidence in God's ability to be greater than any problem we have. I'm not saying you can't call somebody else, because the Spirit will prompt you to call someone that he's already given an answer to help you. But you go to God first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he's already solved it. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. See, praise gives us greater intimacy with God, who is greater than any person, problem, or circumstance we will ever face. So see, you get your praise on in your cubicle. And the joy, the anointing oil of joy just bubble over and goes out and start flowing all in your workplace. You can smile at people who won't even acknowledge your existence. Because your weakness has been diminished. You standing tall and strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you see what a worshipful lifestyle looks like? Are you getting it? Can you see the bountifulness, the joy? That's why we can enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 And when we come together corporately like this, man, this house of prayer should be rocking. They ought to think that, what, they having a Super Bowl party in there? Hallelujah! Because that's the kind of praise and worship he's looking for. For we're foolish, like David was, dancing out of his clothes. And the only person that didn't, his wife. Well, what he down there doing? No, he ain't got to be doing all of that. Once again, it does take all of that. It does take all of that. Oh. Also, this is number 7. It reduces uncertainty. When we praise and worship God, we have a renewal of all his blessed assurances. Woo! Paul wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Every. So don't never say you're not blessed. Jesus said, because you have not seen me and because you believe, you're blessed. Okay? So never downplay who you are and how blessed you are as a believer in Jesus Christ. Praise and worship helps us to be reminded of the unlimited resources that we have in Christ that represents a vast reservoir of heavenly positions. They who seek the Lord will not lack one good thing, David said. Thank you. So if you're liking some good things, don't be looking next door. Like, look within. Examine your praise and worship lifestyle. And ask yourself, who am I really praising and who am I really worshiping? Yes. Amen. It also diminishes the need to understand. When we praise God and worship him, we are less insistent on our right to know why certain things happen to us. We are less apt to react with anger, bitterness, or worry when we turn all our perplexities over to the Lord. Paul wrote, "I am perplexed, but not in distress, always bearing in my body the death of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might be manifested in my body." People who praise God do not need to understand why adversity falls on the wicked and the righteous alike. So let us praise God that he has the capacity to work all things together for the good of those of us who love him and are fitting into his plan. Not some man-made plan, but his plan. It's about him, Jesus, the plan that God is continuously and faithfully unfolding until all things are done according to his word. That is why in Revelation, we are encouraged to pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." It takes a true worshiper to pray that. It takes a true worshiper to say, "Come now, come, return now." Because if you know what's going to happen when he returns, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're a true worshiper, you ain't scared. You won't be shaken. You won't be one of the ones trying to run and hide behind a cave or dig in a hole. You won't be one of them if you're a true worshiper. If you're a true worshiper. Oh, so I boldly say, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. Let that be your cry too. Number 9, it diminishes the need to depend on our own self as the source. We can praise and worship God and experience less of a need to rely on ourselves or people as the true source for what we have. Because we know the promise is true that he's given us, that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches. Ain't that what he say? In the glory, by Christ Jesus. Oh, we can look at other people and think they have it made. Drop hints so they can supply us with some of their riches. And they riches won't make you no happier, no more satisfied. Because you will go through their riches like a cankerworm eating through a bag. And then you'll still be, once again, that Groundhog Day all over again. Oh, but we thank you. When we are not feeling confident, self-assured, we can praise and worship God that he gives us the wherewithal to accomplish everything he asks to do with the help of Christ and the Holy Spirit, who supplies us emotionally, physically, socially, mentally, and spiritually. You would never like anything if you praise and worship God for his enabling ability to take you through every trial and make you better for it. Because when you go through it with God, you come out of it with God better than where you was from where you started. And the way we judge better is not the way that God judge better. Because if your heart was not even acknowledging him before and he brought you through it, and your heart is not acknowledging him, you are better. You may still be wearing the same clothes, but you are better. You are better. And it begins to manifest. Number 10, it diminishes the need to feel in control. Praising and worshiping God helps us gain greater confidence in God's ability to take us through any dark valley. We do not have to pretend to be such self-sufficient, rigid, rugged individuals. Or you can ask some people to be so stoic. They will enter the house of the Lord, his house of prayer, and they are too dignified to become undignified in praise and worship. Where am I? Why are they jumping? And who is that running around in this house? Oh, yeah. A true worshiper has no control because they have yielded it all to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We do not, as true worshipers, have to plague ourselves with questions like, what did I do wrong? Some things are beyond our ability to control. We do not always have to analyze all the reasons why things did not go perfectly. Sometimes we set our own selves up for disappointment when we fail to say, like Job, even though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Because praising and worshiping God recognizes that he is sovereign, loving, and perfectly in control of all of our circumstances. We do not have to judge our circumstances, knowing that he is sovereign in every situation, pain, and problem. Those are 10 things, if you, as a true worshiper, that ought to change your life, should be the fruit of the Spirit working through us so that others will know that you are a child of God. So in conclusion, let us follow the words of David when he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. May our lives always worship God, becoming more and more like Jesus. Salt, light, and love to the world around us. May God bless the hearers and doers of his word. Amen. 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 Amen.